Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Y'all doing all right this morning?
Yes, sir.
Amen. We still calling on the name of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm glad about it. How about you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we thank the Lord for another day, another opportunity to stand before you, amen, and declare his goodness. God is good. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come, Lord. We thank you right now, Lord, for the day, this day. Lord, you will rejoice and be glad in this day. Lord, as we give you honor and glory, Lord, we just say, have your way in us, Lord. Speak to our hearts, not minds. Lord, through those places, God, that only you know and only you can search out, Lord, that sometimes we even don't recognize ourselves. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to increase our faith, God, increase our trust and our dependency upon you voluntarily, Lord, not because we have to, because we want to. So we ask you, Lord, to let it be so in each and every one of us, God, because we know that you are there and you see us, Lord, and you know where we are and what we need. Lord, and we thank you right now because you said you are able to supply all of our needs, Lord, according to your riches and glory, God. You are God, Lord, that cares about us, Lord. So we cast all our cares upon you. Hallelujah. And we ask you, Lord, to speak to us right now, Lord. Move me out of the way, Lord, and just allow your spirit to speak unto us, Lord. Let he that hath an ear hear what you're saying unto the church, God. We pray for those that are unable to be with us this morning, God, that you would strengthen and bless, God. We pray for those that are watching online, Lord, that you would speak to them as well, Lord. We just ask you right now, Lord, to settle our minds and settle our hearts, Lord, that we give an ear and attention unto your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. The children going out today?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes, okay, we go ahead and release them, our young people.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, God. I was thinking, with this being Black History Month, you know, I'm always looking at different things this time of year. You know, and I found a couple little nuggets I wanted to share with you. Amen. And I'll tell you why on both of them in a minute. But I came across this one. It said the oldest living Buffalo soldier, Sergeant Mark Matthews, died at age 111. Amen. Is buried at Arlington National Cemetery. 111. Anybody in here imagine living that long?
Yeah.
I mean, huh? 111. Amen. That's hanging in there, boy. I tell you, I tell people I'm looking for the 120. He almost got there. Amen. Yeah, so I thank God. Say six. Raise your sights. Raise your sights. Raise your sights. Come on. Come on. Amen. And then there's this other one here is Hattie McDaniel became the first black person to win an Oscar for her supporting role in Gone with the Wind in 1940. Wow, supporting role. But then I came across this one here too. It says Sidney Poitier was the first black man to win the Oscar 24 years later in 1964 for his leading role in Lilies of the Field. Amen. And we just so happen to have a Poitier in the room.
Yes.
Isn't that right, Malcolm? Amen. Got some of that Sidney lineage in the room. Amen. And we just thank God. We got some history. Hallelujah. You know, there's so many things I've looked at and run across, but I could spend the whole morning just going over them. Amen. But there's so much, you know. And one thing that Reverend Dawkins was talking about, you know, he was sharing with us in the office there is we need to sit down and let our children know who they are. I don't care if you're black, white, whatever, you know, but let them know about your family lineage, your family history. You know, some things I found out about our family, man, was really amazing, you know, years ago when I looked. And in fact, one of my great aunts, amen, great aunts, amen, It was actually started the first black convent in Louisiana. Amen. And they actually made a Lifetime movie about her life. Amen. And so there's some things you don't know until you start searching and see who you are. Amen. And you know, I see all this red up here. Amen. I love you. Who loved me? See, that's a question. But God loves us all. Amen. And his love trumps everybody else's love, right? Amen. So we thank God for who he is. Amen. And we just want to go ahead and jump into the word this morning. Amen. Last week, amen, we talked about what? The last command. Somebody was listening. Amen. Dealing with the book of Acts. The last command. Amen. And, you know, so we're going to continue in the book of Acts. And this morning our topic is going to be the promise. Amen. Because when, you know, he gave him a last command. Amen. And he told him, to go. Amen. So we're going to look at that. And I'm not going to be long with you this morning unless the Lord give me, more to say. Amen. But I want us to hear what the Lord is doing, amen, and seeing, because there's so much. I'm going back and forth with God about, okay, how much more? How much do you want me to dig? How deep do we want to go? Because this, you ever peel an onion? Some people can't do it. They just cut them up. But you ever actually peel the layers of an onion? Amen. It just gets stronger and stronger as you dig in, amen, especially if it's a good onion. As soon as you cut it open, you know it. Mm. Yeah, see, we peeling this thing, amen. It just depends on how many layers deep we want to go, amen, to understand. But, I just want to do a quick review. Last week we talked about in Luke 24 and 49, amen, Jesus was talking to his disciples prior to his departure, because we kind of segued the Gospels right into, amen, the book of Acts, amen, how we got there. But he said these words, amen, in verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. And that, even that verbiage, amen, the promise of the Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with the power, with power. How many want some power? Amen. We like to be powerful people, amen, but power from on high. This is power you can't get from nowhere else. Amen. You can get power from PG&E. You can get power in your car. You can get power in all kinds of things. Amen. But this power can only come from above. Amen. And we need some of that power. We're calling on that power, right? But he said, Jesus said, I send this promise to you. Amen. It's a promise. And I always say, God is a what? He's a promise keeper. So he's able to keep his promises. Amen. Amen. If he said it, he's able to bring it to pass. Amen. And then we get into the book of Acts, the first chapter, verse 4 and 5, and it says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Amen. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, there's a lot in that verse, those two verses. There's a lot in there, amen. And I'm not even going to begin to unpack it all today, amen, so because we got some work to do. But I'm looking at it, amen. He said, wait for the promise. Anybody ever had somebody make a promise to you? Yeah. Amen. Let me see your hand if you ever had anybody make a promise to you. Or maybe if you ever made a promise. Amen. Now, let me see your hand if all those promises were kept. I'm not talking about from God. I don't see no hands. So either someone failed to keep their promise or we failed to keep ours. Right? But one thing I've learned about God, he keeps his promises. Amen. If he promised it, amen, he will do it. But sometimes he's not doing it when we think or how we think or would like him to do it, but he's a promise keeper, amen. Because he's able to perform whatsoever he said, amen. And he sees the end from the beginning, amen. So he already knows, but we can't see it. So sometimes we feel like, where you at? What's going on? How come the promise ain't been kept? Amen. You said you was going to take me here. You was going to do that. Or you was going to do that. But God will keep his promises. Now, one thing I'll caution us, amen, even in that, is you got to know that the promise was from God.
Right?
It wasn't somebody prophesying something over the pizza last night. Amen. Or it wasn't something that you conjured up on your own, but you got to know that you know the promise was from God. Amen. Because you can't hold him to something he didn't say. Amen. Sometimes we get it mixed up and then we're mad at God because, you know, he didn't do what he didn't say he was going to do. Amen. So we got to look at that. Amen. So we pick up, amen, and I want us to see what he's doing. Even in, let's go to Acts, the second chapter. Amen. In verse 32 and 33, it said, this Jesus has God raised up. Wherefore, we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted. Now, this is when Peter, amen, after the Holy Spirit had descended upon them in the book of Acts, and he's coming to the summation of his first message to the New Testament church. So this is just an excerpt, because we're going to go back to this again, this whole second chapter again. But he's saying that, you know, Jesus, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Because why? He's preaching. They seen the 120 in the upper room, amen, and they were all, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, amen, same thing. And they're speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance, and all these people are looking, saying, what's going on? And this prompted him to give that first message. So he's saying, this is what Jesus sent down. Amen, that he received from the Father. And now what you see and hear, this is what it is. This the Holy Spirit operating, amen, in the earth. This was the first time anything like this had ever taken place in such numbers, amen, as they were seeing on the day of Pentecost. That was the birth of the New Testament church. Amen. So now I want us to put this together now. The last thing Jesus told them to do before he left, amen, is to go and wait for the promise of the Father. Amen. And as they gathered away, the first thing he did, amen, as they were gathered, is send the promise. Amen. So therefore, he made a promise. Amen. 10 days later or so, he kept the promise. Amen. And he poured it out upon them. Amen. And this is what they see. They're watching them. Amen. And they're hearing them. Amen. Is what he said, which you now see and hear. Then look at verse number 37 to 39. He says, and when they heard this, the message that he had just preached to them, they were pricked in their hearts. In other words, there was some conviction that came upon them. Right? Because why? He said, this is the Jesus you just crucified. Amen. You tried to kill him. You tried to put a stop to all this. But guess what? You just facilitated, amen, the plan of God to go forth like he purposed and intended in the beginning. Amen. So they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise, come on, now hear what he's saying here. Because there's folks that are saying, well, that was for them back then. Right? But hear the words of the Bible. Amen. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all, everybody say all, that are afar off. Were we afar off from them? Yeah. I think so. That includes us too, right? He said, all the, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Did he call us to salvation? Hallelujah. Amen. So I think that includes us too. So he said, the promise is not just to them back then, but the promise is to all afar off, as many as, and he's still calling people. He's still calling to salvation. Amen. So he's saying, the promise is for you. The promise is for me. The promise is for all who will believe him and trust him. Amen. So the promise is something that, you know, I like when people promise me good things. And especially when God makes a promise, I'm all in. Amen. And I can tell you about that later. But, you know, because I know when he delivered the promise into my life, it changed everything. Literally changed everything, because it changed me. So, I mean, everything concerning me and about me, amen, changed, amen. Because it was just that significant, amen. And so you might be asking, well, so what's so significant about receiving the promise? promise of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I would answer to you, amen, that there are a number of reasons why it's important for every believer, amen, to desire, amen, the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, whichever one you like. Some people don't like ghosts because it sounds scary. You know, we're not talking about Casper, the friendly ghost. Amen. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, amen, the ghost, the spirit, amen. So they're interchangeable. So whichever one you like, just let your hearing separate. I mean, if you don't like ghosts, why are you so scary? That's what I'll be telling Pastor Linda. Because I'll walk through the house, just walking through the house, and she's always scared. Especially now when she's having these division issues, so I can walk up, she don't even know I'm there. Then I'll move or I'll speak, she'll be jumping like, I said, why are you so scared? It's just the two of us in here. Amen. Oh, June the same way? Yeah, I see you telling all. Amen. So why are we afraid? Amen. He wants to give you, fill you. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit comes with power. Is that right? Amen. But we're not talking about the power right now. We're going to get into the power another time. But I just want us to recognize the promise. Amen. And what he promised. He promised to give us the Holy Spirit. Amen. He promised, amen. But, you know, you ever try to give somebody a gift and they wouldn't take it? Let me see your hand. If it's in the room, sometimes you're like, no, I don't need it. I appreciate it, but I can't take that. You know, I'm good. No, all that thing. No. See, people do that to Jesus. Well, I'm good. I don't believe you're going to really let me have it anyway. Right? But no, he wants to give it to you. Amen. He wants to bless us, amen, so that we can walk in the fullness. Amen. So it's important. I mean, and there's a list of reasons that we'll get to, amen, of why it's important for believers to understand, to know, and to accept the Holy Spirit and all the power that comes with him. Sometimes we don't know what we got on board. We just don't get it, amen. What we really got on board, amen, even in the prayer this morning, it's just like, that's why I said, oh, your little faith. We have little faith even though we have much power.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Right? Amen. Because the power's there. Yes. I mean, it's like having a car with a Hemi in it. And all you do is go 30 miles an hour. You know, you never use the power. Amen. See, I like to use the power in my car. But I try to keep up with Reverend Dawkins sometimes, so you know, you know, but we want to use the power now in the natural, but also in the spiritual. You know, I'm used to speaking to this body and it lining up. Amen. So many things that try to come against it. No, you don't belong here. Devil, get off of me. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. You got to go. And I'm up and gone. Which is why speak not by your authority. Amen. But you speak in the word of God. Amen. See, sometimes we need to invoke his word. Amen. Lord, you said. Now, I've been in life situations where I went to God and said, God, you said. Huh? Remind him of his word. Amen. And we bring him. See, he said he'll bring all things to our remembrance, whatsoever he has told us. Amen. But how often do we bring things to God's remembrance? Not that he forgot. But I'm reminding him that I know what you said and I'm standing on what you said. Amen. Because I'm believing it to be true. Amen. If he promised all these things to us, amen, how many of us are really claiming the promises? Remember, he's a promise keeper. We say it, right? But now it's time for us to exercise it. Amen. Then there, you know, we're talking about this Holy Ghost and receiving. Then there might be those of us who believe that they were filled, amen, when they gave their life to Christ. Oh, it's in the room. See, it's in the room. It's in the room. But we're going to even deal with that. Because God has a specific way of doing things. And, you know, I know this morning, because I really got to dig into all these things, but I already know this morning I don't have the time to do it. But we'll pick up on some of these when I come back next time. Amen. I'm not done yet. Don't get happy. See, some of y'all got the Super Bowl on your mind, and you say, "Oh, you hope today go by fast." Amen. The Super Bowl going to play whether you're there or not. I'm stirring up something right now. I can feel it in the room. Amen. But in a few hours, it's going to be over, and you still got to call on the name of Jesus. Right? You still got to come. Maybe you need to start calling on it now so you can bring your focus here. Amen. So why you want to mess with folks? It don't start to 5, right? I knew I'd get a response. Well, I'll be done by 3. So y'all be all right. I hope y'all got y'all snack bowls and all that ready, you know, all your stuff. Kansas City and who?
Seahawks.
Jesus. Amen. But see, we got to look at this thing because we got to understand that the Holy Ghost, amen, is something that God wants to give us. He wants to give us. He wants to keep that promise, amen. And as we look at all these different portions of everything that is culminating in these verses of kicking off the New Testament and how God does things, I believe it's going to be clear, amen. But so be back when I'm back. Amen. I know the next Sunday, Pastor Linda is going to be bringing forth the word. Amen. And after that, Pastor Sam's going to be bringing forth the word. So y'all going to have to wait till March 3rd to hear the other part. It's going to be all right because that gives you scholars time to do some research. Amen. And so I'm letting you know in advance. Do some research. Do some digging. Amen. So when you come even to the Bible study, you got your notes and you got your comments. And the Bible says, come let us what?
Reason
together. Amen. Because with all that getting, get understanding. Amen. It's going to take that understanding, amen, for us to stand, amen, and keep us. So I'm telling you, do your research. I've already done mine. And I will keep digging. Amen. So let us go on, amen. We're going to look at one of the things that the Holy Spirit does for us. Amen. One of the reasons he wants us to have it. Amen. In 2 Corinthians, amen, the first chapter and the 20th verse, amen, it says this, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. When did he say? After you heard the word of truth. The gospel of salvation, in whom also after that you believed, now she said, after you heard the word, amen, you believed. Now after you believe, see when you believe, amen, you give your life to him, amen, then all of a sudden, you're in the kingdom, right? But then he says this, amen, after that you believed, you were sealed. What's that mean to be sealed? Sealed. He said, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I like that. Amen. Sealed, I mean, that means putting a seal on there. Nothing can leak out. Nothing can, you ever see in the old days, they would have a seal on the back of the letter, on the back of the envelope. They would put that wax on there, and then the king or whoever would take that signet ring, and he would make the impression and seal it. So if anybody looks at it, they know who it belongs to, amen, who it came from, and they also know if it's been broken. Right? So it secures that information. It secures that thing. So he said we were sealed. But look how he said it in the 14th verse, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now what did he just say? The earnest, what is the earnest? Anybody here ever bought a house or a property? Amen. And they ask you to put down something to say, you know what? Put your earnest money. In other words, make a down payment so we can hold it for you. You got your earnest money. While we go through all the paperwork and we make sure, amen, that all the documents are good, the title is clear, you got earnest money down saying, earnestly, I'm dedicated. I've made a financial commitment, amen, to buy this property. I've committed to it because this is my... So what he's saying, amen, when God gives us his spirit, his Holy Spirit, he said, I'm dedicated to you. I've made a down payment. See, sometimes we feel like we got it all, but see, that's just a down payment, what he's telling us. He said, this is the earnest of our inheritance. This is just the down payment. And if the down payment is that powerful, if the down payment is that good, amen. He said, it's just the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Who is the purchased possession? We are. Remember, he said, you know, we're bought with a price. Amen. We're no more our own. Amen. He paid with his blood. Amen. We're the purchased possession. But notice, he didn't take us right on home. Right? But he's made a down payment, a deposit of his spirit in us to let us know you belong to me. Not just to let you know, but to let others know that you belong to me. Amen. And I look at now, he said, until the redemption. So, well, I've already been redeemed. Have you? I'm about to mess up y'all theology. If you redeemed, why are you still here?
Lord Jesus, come on now.
You got work to do. You see, that's why he said until the redemption. Redemption. Now, anybody ever go to a nice restaurant and you check your bag and you check your coat? And they give you a little number, a little ticket. You know, a little token that got a number on it, so they said, let you know that that's yours. So when you come back to redeem your property,
hallelujah.
See, that's so he said, we have been saved and set apart for the redemption. When the redemption comes, that means we're going home.
Right.
Amen. So that's why he said, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Amen. Now, it would be different if he intended just to leave us here forever.
Yeah.
Amen. But see, that's not his plan. He wants to take us home, amen, and then plant us in the new heaven and in the new earth, amen. But see, that Holy Ghost, amen, it identifies us. It seals us, amen, until that day of redemption when he takes us home to step fully and completely into his kingdom, amen. That's what he's talking about. He said, unto the praise of his glory. Now, you are his, but he left you here to do something. He left you here to be witnesses. He left you and me here to be light and salt in the earth. He left us here to do his work, amen, for the expanding, you heard that, Francis, of his kingdom.
Yes.
Amen. To reaching souls, amen. He didn't just leave us here to wait to go home.
Come on.
You got work to do.
Yes.
Right? And he wants us to do the work, amen, while we're here. He don't want us just collecting dust, amen, like a coat in the closet waiting to be redeemed. He wants us to be ready and to be busy about our Father's business. Now, even when we look here in Ephesians, the third chapter, he lay it out a little bit more, verses 3 through 7. He says, how that by revelation, and this is the Apostle Paul, he's letting us know these things that God showed him as he's talking to the church at Ephesus. He said, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Now, see, watch what he's saying. As I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand the knowledge, my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He said he revealed to me a mystery, and I want you to know the mystery. I want you to understand the mystery. Amen. He goes on in verse 5, says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Now, see, that's where we should get happy. See, it was a mystery. They thought, well, only the Jews was going to be saved. That's part of the mystery. But he said that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, see, before, it was only focused on the Jews. But he said, now he showed a mystery, amen, that no, this was his plan from the very beginning. From the very beginning, God's intention, amen, was that the Jews would receive him and the Jews would be the catalyst for spreading the gospel throughout the world. That was the plan. But when the Jews rejected him, amen, then he decided, okay, I'm just going to go straight to the people. Amen. And then in Romans, it talks about how he blinded the eyes of the Jews, now, amen, and that the doors have been opened for you and me. Y'all have heard this, amen, but we need to understand other generations didn't know that until he got to the Jesus came and the mysteries will begin to be revealed more and more and more. He said, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God, the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. In other words, he empowered me, amen, to be the apostle to the Gentiles, amen, to go and spread the good news to them that they too can be partakers, that they too, amen, can receive the promise, amen, that he had already made. See, when we look at the promises, amen, throughout the Old Testament, God made so many promises to his people to deliver them, to take them into the promised land, the land with milk and honey. All those promises have been kept. He kept all those promises, but there was the final promise when Jesus, you know, told them to go and wait until they receive the promise. Not just a promise, but the promise. And he's letting us know, amen, that we have become part of that promise process. We have the opportunity, amen, to be a part of it. Isn't that right? And I'm glad about it. As we go on down in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, verse 30, he says this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. There it is again. Amen. You've been sealed unto the day. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, what does it mean to grieve the Holy Spirit? Make it angry. Amen. To go against it. Amen. To frustrate the Spirit of God. Someone's like, well, you can't frustrate. God gets frustrated with us all the time. Amen. You know, because he loves us. Amen. And sometimes we do things that grieve his spirit. Otherwise, he wouldn't have to tell us, don't do that. Right? Because he loves us. Amen. Just like we as parents in the room. Amen. We love our children, but sometimes they do things that grieve our hearts. Amen. And maybe we're the only ones. You know. But sometimes they do things to grieve our heart, to grieve our spirit, amen. And because they're grown, you can't tell them nothing. Heck, even sometimes when they're young, you can't tell them nothing. Right? Because they think they know it all. You know what I mean? You don't understand. You know, but we don't want to grieve because why? We're sealed by that spirit. We're sealed by who he is, amen. And I thank God for all that he's done, amen. And I know there's been times in my walk, amen, over 45 years with Christ that there's been times, especially early on, that I know I was grieving his spirit. Because I was grieved with me too, amen. So I know, amen, what he's talking about, amen. And we need to recognize, amen, that even though we may grieve his spirit, he still loves us. Amen. And he's still drawing us unto himself. He's still working to make a way for us. Amen. That we might be able to stand. Amen. But we understand that we thank God for the promise. Amen. Because I want to be a partaker of the promise. Amen. In fact, I am a partaker. Anybody else in here? Come on. Talk to me. Amen. So let's look here in 2 Corinthians. Amen. In the first chapter, in verse number 20. It says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. His promise is yes and amen. He said it, he'll do it. Amen. Right? He's like not like man. Amen. Who changed their mind. I know sometimes people change their mind. They're happy with you today, and they can't stand you tomorrow. Right? You know, they don't want to have nothing to do with you. But then he goes on to say, unto the glory of God by us, now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Now, this is a whole different book now. He said, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. There's that sealing and that earnest down payment again in our hearts. Amen. He has blessed us. Amen. So we've been sealed. Amen. And we that seal is the earnest, the down payment. Amen. Now I like how it says that in the NLT. You see, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. It's already done. And through Christ are amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. It is God who enables us also with you to stand firm in Christ. He has commissioned us. Now, he's talking about them, the apostles. He's commissioned us, and he has identified us in his own, as his own, excuse me, by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us. You just got the first installment. And that first installment, amen, is a real good one. Amen. Now, it's in other words, just tell somebody next to you there's more to come. There's more to come, amen. And, you know, I want all he has for me. Amen. But first, it means embracing the promise. It means recognizing that that promise has been made to each and every one of us. Amen. Because truly, God wants to keep that promise, and he is keeping that promise in our lives today. But we got to understand, when he told them to go, he didn't just leave them hanging. You know, sometimes people say they're going to do this, that. I know certain individuals who made promises to us, and we're still waiting. Been the years, we still wait. Right? But that's not God. He will keep his promise. Amen. Now, sometimes God promised you some things, and it might take a while. But you're not waiting on him. He's waiting on you. Right? Now, his promise is good, but he's just waiting for you to get in position to receive the promise he already has for you. It's not like, well, God didn't do it. Well, did you? Have you done everything else he told you to do? See, we can come to him with our hand out, but not with in obedience. And we want the promise, and we want him to do everything he said he would do, but we haven't done what he's already told us to do. So it's not that he's holding it back. It's that you're delaying it. Right? See, I'm going to help y'all understand what I'm saying here. You know, sometimes you say, well, I promised my children if you bring home straight A's, I'll give you X amount of dollars for each A. Right? And they come with C's and D's, and they're still looking for the money.
Come on, Jesus.
No, you haven't kept your end of the bargain. I told you what it's going to take to get the promise. Right? You know, so maybe they come up with a B minus. No, that's not an A. But no, the deal was this.
Hallelujah.
And God wants us to, in other words, God wants us to up our game in him. Amen. So that he be able to release to us the other things that he has for us. Amen. The open doors that we desire. Amen. The opportunities. Amen. All these things. Amen. He said, do I have to go there? Okay. He said, if you believe, sometimes we want it, but our belief is wavering. Our believer is broken. Yeah, so he said, if you believe, you shall. But see, we want to shall without having to exercise our faith. God, you should just do it to me. Prove it to me first. Right? Show me that you're real first. He's already showing you that you're breathing. So he's saying, do your part. Trust me. You know, it reminds me, amen, of when the disciples were in the boat and they saw Jesus walking on the water. And they were afraid. They thought it was a spirit. But then Peter said, what? If it be you, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come. Right? And he said, well, come on. So, but I give him credit because he stepped out the boat. He had to muster up some faith. Amen. He had to be, okay, I got to do it. He said, come. So I got to push past my fear of walking on this stormy water. And he stepped out anyway. Amen. And he began to walk. Now, I can imagine. He might have been, hey, I looked at one. I forget which version it is. He said, as he went, the water was congealed under his feet. Wow. What's that mean? The water became firm under his feet. It came together, congealed. Amen. But then he was doing good. But then he started looking around. Right? And when he started looking around, he began to sink. Amen. Because he began to let the storm bother him again. Amen. But he had to muster up some faith and call for some help. Amen. And the Lord was right there. Right there to help him. See, if we just trust him, if we just stretch out, amen, we may not see how it's going to work. Amen. We may not understand how he's going to do it, but if he can congeal water for someone to step on it and walk on it, amen, what else can he do? You know, then when he got there, he commanded the winds and the waves to be still. And everything calmed down. Everything. Calmed down. Amen. And then one of the other chapters, it said, and immediately, when he got in the boat, and immediately they were at land. Now imagine, you in a storm, and all this is going crazy. Peter steps out, the boat starts walking, the Lord saves him because he starts sinking, but his faith begins to waver. He gets in the boat, calms things down, and you look up, and you're at the beach already.
All right.
That would have just messed me up. I ain't no way you're going. You see all that, and you still doubt? See, we ain't no better than the 12 that was with him, because they still doubted, because when they came to get him to crucify him, they took off and hid. And John, he said they were gone. The only two that followed was Peter, amen, and John. John, he stood there, and Peter denied him after all the things they seen him do. They still denied him, and he ran. But he didn't hold it against them, because he knew they didn't have the promise yet. They didn't have the power. All they were operating in was their own faith and their own strength. Amen, which wavers. That's why he told them, don't go and preach and teach no more. Don't go anywhere. Go to Jerusalem and wait till you get the power. Then you can be my witnesses. Because now you have power on board to face whatever comes at you. Because once, I'm going to tell you now, once you get, like I said, it changes everything. Amen. And when we see what happens to them, amen, the very one, now notice, the very one that denied him three times is the one that stood up and preached the first message on the day of Pentecost. He went from fearful to totally bold. Ready to tell them everything they needed to hear, amen, and tell them they need to repent.
Yeah.
Change your way. Why? He had been empowered. He had been emboldened, amen, by receiving that power, the promise, amen. When he received the promise, he was emboldened to face. He wasn't afraid of anything, anybody. And as we just follow him throughout the rest of the book of Acts and in the New Testament, you'll see he didn't back down from anything ever again. Because why? He had the power on board. And that's what he wants us to be, amen. So we need to recognize, amen, that what God has promised us is true and is real. And he truly is able to bring it to pass. Now, then I look at this other thing, amen, because we look at this, and I want to share this with you. Amen, because there's so much he wants us to know and understand. But when we look at the Apostle John, he begins to identify the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, in his gospel. Amen. He also gives him a different name. Amen. In the Gospel of John. He called him the Comforter. Amen. I'm going to show you some verses here. Amen. And show you how even in there was an interplay as he described the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the interaction between the Holy Ghost, the Father, and the Son. Amen. And I find it interesting how, in the words of Jesus, all this that we're about to read, was spoken by Jesus himself in these next verses. So we're going to go to John 16:7 first. He's still talking about that same one. He says, because he's talking to his disciples, he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. You know, it's good, it's better, be quicker. Expedient for you that I go away. Now, they tried, they didn't want him to leave. You know, he's been resurrected, amen, and they hadn't spent 40 days with him, amen. But now he's telling them, it's good, it's expedient for me, it's good for you that I leave. They're not understanding this, okay? For you, but he said, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Now, he's talking to his disciples. Amen. Those that he has empowered, amen, he has given them a mission. He's changed their names to from followers to friends to made them his apostles. He said, but now he's saying, if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, now watch his words carefully. If I depart, I will send him unto you. Okay, so if I go, I'm going to send him back. Y'all got that, right? Now let's look at John 14:16. 14 and 16 verses, he said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, and that he may abide with you forever. Now Jesus said he was going to send him, but here he said the Father's going to send him, right? Even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he Now, shall be in you. In other words, he's not in you yet.
Right.
Now, he's talking to his disciples. Amen. He's getting ready to ascend. He's telling them to go to Jerusalem and wait. So he's saying, he's going to be with you and he shall be in you. And then he says this. Now, notice in the 16th verse, he said, the Father will send you another comforter, give you another comforter. But in the 18th verse, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, wait a minute. He said he's going to send the Comforter, but now he said, I'm going to come to you. Don't get confused. Then we drop down to verse 26 in the 14th chapter. He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, make it clear, whom the Father will send in my name. Now, wait a minute. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. Now, Jesus told him on many occasions, I do nothing except my Father tell me to do. I don't say anything except Father say. But now he's saying, he's going to bring these things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. And then we look at one more here, in the 15th chapter, 26th verse. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. So when you look at those verses, who's sending who? See, and Jesus does never, he's not confused. He doesn't do things, you know, without a purpose and a reason. He's trying to help us to understand that he's in the Father and the Father's in him.
Yes.
Amen. And Holy Spirit, amen. And they're all the same.
Amen.
See, so if I send him, the Father's sending him.
Right.
If I come, the Father's coming.
Hallelujah.
You know, he's helping them to understand we are all one in him. And I got one more passage to show you, then I'm going to leave y'all alone. Amen. And that really just brings it home. Amen. And without question. Amen. And that's in 1 John 5, verse 7 and 8. Say, for there are three that bear record in heaven. Mm-hmm. Someone say, I told you there was three. But look what he says. The Father, the Word, and in John, Jesus is identified as the Word, amen, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us and became as the only. So, okay, we got the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So, Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. Got all three, amen. And he said, these three are one. That's as plain as it can get. Right. So he's the Father in creation, the Son in redemption, and the Holy Spirit in emanation as he comes and to dwell with us and to be in us. But it's all the same. He's all the same. So when he makes us the promise, I want to tie this back before I finish that verse. When he makes us the promise, what he's really saying is, I'm promising to come and be with you. But see, the thing he was helping them to understand, that's why he said, it's better for me to go, because if I don't go, then the Comforter can't come. And as long as he was there in the personage of Jesus Christ, in the flesh, amen, he couldn't be everywhere with everybody. He was limited to one location. They said, he's here, he's there. So he said, no, I got a better plan than that, so I'm going to go, and I'm going to come back in the person of the Holy Spirit. So now I can be not just with you, so they can crowd around me. I'm going to be in you, so no matter where you are, I'm there. I can be with you here. I can be with you in Egypt. I can be with you in Zimbabwe. I can be with everybody who believes me. I can be with them all. Because that's why he said he's coming back as a spirit. There is no limitation, amen, to where he can be and needs to be, amen, in the spirit. Amen. And this is why it's important. And then the eighth verse says this, and there are three that bear witness in the earth. Now, he said the three are one, right? But he said three that bear witness in the earth, the spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now, when we look at the spirit, amen, what's that represent? The spirit, the Holy Ghost. He's the spirit, okay? And then he wants to help us to have the spirit. But so where's the water come in? The washing, the baptism, amen, in water. And then when we get to the blood, what is that? The blood of Christ, our redemption. Amen. Our sanctification, amen. So he causes us to understand that all three of these things agree in him. So when we believe in Christ, amen, and we are baptized, amen, and we are able to receive the Spirit, it's all for the same purpose, amen, for our salvation unto redemption. And that's why they agree, because why? All these things have got to be working in our lives, amen, if we want to walk in the fullness of the privilege that God has made available to us. But sometimes if we don't understand the fullness of it, amen, then we live beneath our privilege. See, because notice, amen, when you acknowledge him and you give your life to him, amen, you're accepted. You're saved. Amen. But there's more. There's more. And he wants us to have the more. Amen. When he talks about the baptism, he wants us to have the more. Amen. And there's more than one baptism, which I don't have time to talk about. Amen. But we're going to talk about it on March 3rd. Mark your calendar. Amen. Because we're going to dig into a couple things on March 3rd that's going to really open this thing up even more. Amen. Because truly, we want to understand so that when we're conversing with others, amen, we have a working knowledge. Amen, of how all this works and what God has done for us and why he's done it, amen, and moreover, who you are in Christ, amen, and what's been made available to you and me, amen, so that we can speak with confidence, we can speak in authority, amen, recognizing that God is greater than we can begin to imagine. Hallelujah. And he wants that greatness to be able to show up through you and me, because we are his representatives in the earth. We are who he wants us to be, amen. The closer we get with him, the more we understand his will and his word, the more we can walk it out and be an effective witness. You see that? That's why he said in Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, or the Holy Ghost, and then you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth, because now you have power and you understand who you are. I can't get over looking at Peter, the transformation that took place in his life, amen, once he was empowered. It was not just because he saw Christ, amen, but he was empowered, amen, by the Holy Spirit coming on board, amen, and he received it and he walked it out. And we, not just him, we look at the others that were there. And that day, amen, the demonstration brought 3,000 souls just to kick off the church. 3,000 souls were converted on that day when they saw the power of God come down. Amen. And we also going to talk about, you know, what they saw and heard, the tongues. Some people don't talk about tongues. Tongues has passed away. We're going to talk about tongues. Amen. Now, tongues ain't the power, ain't all the power. We got a whole lot more power than tongues. Amen. But I'm going to get along before I get started. But it all in all works together for the glory of God. If we would just understand it. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So y'all ready for more? Y'all ready for the rest?
Yes, Lord.
Amen. There's more coming. And y'all know, I'm going to tell you right now, there'll be more before I come back up. Amen. And God has got so much in store for us. But we got to recognize that we're not orphans. We're not here without strength. We're not here without power. We're not here, amen, without a helper. Amen, a paraclete, as it says. We're not here without that. We're here, amen, and we have what we need on board. But we just got to get to a place that we're used to tapping into the source. Not of our own strength, but of his strength, his power. You know, he talks about the power that worketh in us. Whew. My goodness. Are we letting it work? I hope so. And I hope we learn to let it work more and more. So let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now for your promises. Lord, and for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that you want to come and you want to abide not just with us, but in us. God, giving us strength that we cannot attain anywhere else. Lord, to be able to stand against all the fiery darts of the wicked, to be able to stand and be the light and salt, God, that you've called us to be the witnesses, God, in the earth, Lord, that draws others unto salvation, God, because of who you are in us and us allowing you to work through us, God. Help us to subdue this flesh, God. Help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, to yield unto your spirit, God, that you may come and you may have your way in us in every circumstance and situation. We need you, God. We need you when we're facing the challenges of this world, God, the challenges of life, challenges on our jobs, Lord, on our finance, whatever it might be. Hallelujah. And knowing, God, that as we stand for you, God, as we call on your name, and we may be rejected because of calling on your name. It's not us. It's not us being rejected. Is you, God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But yet you are able to take even those that reject you and turn their hearts. So we ask you, God, to give us the tenacity to stand and to be the light, to be the witness. Lord, to lift you up as we go beyond these walls, Lord. God, that we wouldn't do it in our own strength, but we would do it because of the power. And Lord, I pray for anyone that hasn't given their life to you, God, or that needs you.
Pushing towards the mark, I'm pressing for the prize. I can give up now, cause I've come to realize that these problems that I'm facing are just tests to win the race. I know that God will get me through.
Thank you right now.
These obstacles of life, just trying to get ahead. I keep my goals in front of me. The plans you set ahead, I admit.